In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. So I'm sitting down here with my family this morning, and I don't know, John thought maybe it would be distracting for me in my get-up down there. So I'm in casual clothes, I suppose. I hope that's all right this morning. It's a special morning for me for two reasons. One of them, you can guess, that Kaya and Noah are going to be baptized this morning, and it's wonderful to see all of you here to share that moment with them. And the second one is that this is a year anniversary for me. So it was the first Sunday in August last year that was my first one here among you. And so thank you for a wonderful year. It's been great to get to know so many of you, and I look forward to the next one and the one after that. So have you noticed that we are creatures of desire? We're creatures of desire. We're filled with hungers. We're filled with hopes. We're filled with dreams. We are constantly pulled in various directions by the things that we want, the things that we need, the things that we long for. There was a recent book, and the title was just this, Made to Crave. And I think that sums it up and captures it perfectly. We are creatures who crave. And if you were to talk to a Stoic philosopher or a Buddhist, they might tell you this, well, that's actually just our problem, are these desires and cravings and things that we have. And you know what we need to do is to get rid of them. That's the step that we need to make in order to get to a place of peace, is to get rid of our desires. But I don't actually think that's realistic, nor do I think that's desirable, because we are creatures of desire, and I think that's a good thing. But the question for us is, how do we satisfy them? That's what gets us into trouble, not that we have them, but that they cause us to go after things which we ought not to do. Think about antifreeze. We often hear, be careful about that stuff. If you leave it out, then dogs will get into it and they'll drink it because it looks nice, it's sweet, and I guess kids would drink it too. You guys wouldn't drink antifreeze. So be careful about that. Now, for a dog, they're thirsty, and here's something that they can drink. So they have a need and the desire, but of course when they drink it, it poisons and kills them. What's the problem there? Should we say, well, dogs would be much better off if they didn't have thirst? Well, no. Thirst is a God-given desire in them that leads them to what they need. But the problem is, antifreeze isn't it. So for us, similarly, we have these desires, we have these cravings, and the challenge and the question for us is, what is the proper object that we should use to satisfy them? And so we come, maybe if we could use the metaphor of a marketplace. Have you ever been to one of those markets where there's lots of stalls and lots of different goods and things like that? So imagine a marketplace like that. And the life that surrounds us is a marketplace filled with different booths, with different people that are trying to tap into our needs and desires and sell us something. So I say, that itch you've got, come here, I've got what's going to scratch it. Or that deep longing that you have, come here, I'll tell you how to take care of that. And so on it goes. And they've got fancy banners, they've got clever salesmen, they have celebrity spokesmen, they have product placements and all the rest of it, and this big clamor for our attention. And you get some idea about what we think we want and we need if you look at, say, magazine covers. These are folks whose business it is to figure out what we desire and then to help tap into it. So when you look at the covers of men's magazines, women's magazines, what do you see? You know, a lot about health, how to have the perfect body, how to have the perfect diet, how to have better romantic relationships, and so on and so forth, how to make more money, how to these sorts of things. And if you look at the bestseller list, I was looking just this week on the New York Times bestsellers for the category of self-help and advice. And out of the top 20 books, six of them, the highest number, was again on health. How to have the perfect diet, and so forth and so on. The next runner-up category had to do with success in business and making money. The number one book overall was How to Get Rich on the Internet. So these people whose business it is to tap into our needs and desires, they know their business, and these are the things that people tend to run after. And so the marketplace is full of them saying, I'll tell you how to do it, I'll give you the secret, I'll give you what you really need and desire. But in that same marketplace, there's another booth, different than the others. It's actually not selling anything. It's a simple booth. It doesn't have the clever tactics. It doesn't have the slick salesman. It just has a guy sitting there, a simple man, who simply wants to tell us the truth about what we really need. And what does he say as we draw near? He says, "Oh, everyone who thirsts, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Satisfy yourself with rich food. Incline your ear, come to me, listen, so that you might live." And who is this the voice of? It's the voice of Jesus. It's the voice of Christ who's speaking to us these things. And the question for us is, as we pass by that booth in the marketplace of life, what do we say? How do we respond? Many people respond in this way. "I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you. All these other booths are promising me all kinds of other really good things, and it looks really great. And what you're telling me doesn't look that way, doesn't look great, and I just don't believe you. I think the true answer to my deepest needs is to be found elsewhere and not in what you are telling me about." You know, there's a joke I remember seeing once, or a comic, and these two guys are talking, probably in the bar, that's where people talk in jokes. And the one said to the other, "All I want is the chance to prove that money can't make me happy." And it's funny because we, in a way, don't we all feel that way? That we're torn, in a sense. We know on one level that these things that we pursue sometimes are not really going to pay off. And yet we think, well, maybe for me they will. Recently, Kaya, I hope you forgive me for sharing this story. It's not embarrassing. When Kaya and I were chatting the other day, and she was telling me about this product. She's a good salesman. She said, "Man, this thing, I forget what it's called, but it holds a drink and it holds a snack too. And it's supposed to hold it in a way so you don't spill it on the couch." So they show people having fun eating this in front of the TV. And Kaya tells me, she said, "The really, really neat product." And I said, "Oh, interesting." She said, "You know what else? The mommies and the daddies love it too." And I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And she explained to me, "Well, in the commercials, they're smiling and they look very happy." And I said, "Kaya, we need to talk about commercials." So, of course they look happy and it's all working out in the commercial because they're selling us something. And in a way, of course, the famous person that has all those things looks really happy. They're selling you something too. And so why believe the commercials? Why do we believe these things? In a sense, for all of human history, we have tried time and time again to scratch our deepest itches and to fill our deepest hungers with those very same things that are on the front of the magazine covers today. Little has changed. And you know what? The consensus is it doesn't work. And yet we keep trying it, and we keep trying it. Augustine said famously so long ago, he said, "You know, we are made to find our fulfillment in God. And other apart from that, we are filled with restlessness." He made us for himself, and we are not going to find that rest until we find our rest in him. So as we stand in front of that booth and we're thinking, I'm not sure if I believe what he's telling us, the question for us to answer is, whom are we going to trust and believe? Do we believe what Christ tells us is the way to a good life, a deep life, a satisfying life, or do we believe all the other stuff that's going on in the marketplace? I love the way Joshua puts this. Back in the Old Testament, and he's talking to the people of Israel. He's explaining, "Look, I tell you guys, this is what the path you want to follow if you want to live well. And here's the other path. It's not, I can't make this choice for you, but here's what I say to you. Pick. Be honest with yourselves and choose. Which one are you going to take? Choose." And Jesus says the same thing to us. "I've set before you life. Everyone else has something else to sell you. Choose. Who are you going to believe?" Maybe as we go by the booth, we don't feel exactly like that, but instead we say, "Well, to be honest, I'm not hungry, or I'm not thirsty. So you're telling me come and have bread and have drink? Well, that would be fine if I had any desire, but I'm full. So thank you very much. I have no interest in this booth at this point in my life." And I think that's a condition that we often can find ourselves in, is one of being full. And I think this comes about in a couple of different ways. One, we can have ourselves so full of the things that the rest of the marketplace says that we need that it's like eating junk food. You know, you talk again about the kids. I was talking about eating ice cream for dinner. So we all say if we have children, they want cookies in the afternoon. And we say things like, "Well, If you fill yourself up with the cookies now, then you won't want to eat the good dinner when it comes. And the same thing happens to us. We fill ourselves up with the pursuit of all these other things the world holds out to us. And when the real thing is offered, we find that we're not hungry. We feel pretty good as we are. So sometimes that happens kind of accidentally, and sometimes I think it even happens intentionally. We know about that booth over there. We've been by it a couple of times, and we know about that guy. He bothers us a little bit, unsettles us a little bit. And so we intentionally fill ourselves and distract ourselves so that we do not hear the call, so we do not feel the pinch of the hunger or the thirst. We cover over it. But I think it's, if you look at all of Scripture, it's interesting how often it appeals to our hunger, our thirst, and our desire, our needs. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will refresh you. David talks about panting for God as a deer pants for streams of water. Here in Isaiah, we see it. Come, you who are thirsty. In the very end of the Bible, in Revelation, come, you guys who are thirsty. If we do not have hunger or thirst, then I think we are immune to the call of God in our lives. The message is going to fall on deaf ears. We need to have that hunger. And I think if you say, well, okay, what do we do about that if we feel that we don't have it? There's two simple things. And the first is the same thing that we would tell our children. Well, stop eating the junk before dinner. If we fill ourselves with all the things that while giving us fullness, do not give us fullness, then we find that our hunger is no longer there. So cut those things out. I mean, we're so tempted to indulge in all these other things, and they still that hunger inside which points us to their true object. And the second thing is simply to pray. I think it's an entirely appropriate, in fact, an entirely wise prayer to say, God, fill me with hunger for the things that are true bread and for the water that is true water. And God, I think, will answer that prayer. The third thing, or maybe the third kind of person who steps in front of the booth, says, you know, I've been up and down this marketplace a few times. I've tried all the stuff at the other booths, and it's kind of left me hungry. Now I'm ready to hear. What do you have to say? I remember reading about the early explorers to the west in the United States, people like Lewis and Clark. And they had, when they traveled, of course, they needed food. And the most readily available source of that was fish. So they would fish in the streams and eat the things that they caught there. So they had plenty to eat, and yet they found that they would wind up hungry nevertheless. And they gave a name to this. They called it trout hunger. Because you have your belly full of fish, of trout, and yet still have a gnawing hunger. And of course, the reason for that is that they were getting plenty of fish, but they weren't getting vegetables and fruits and other things that our body needs. They were full and yet not satisfied. Trout hunger. And I think that's the condition that we often find ourselves in. We've stuffed a lot of stuff in there and full in a way, and yet somehow there's a nagging emptiness that doesn't go away. I think in my own life about a time that I felt this, when I was done with college, like many college students like to do, I thought, I'm going to do the big backpacking trip in Europe. And so after my senior year, I worked hard all that summer, saved up my money, departed around November for a few months in Europe. And by the end of that trip, this was in, I was in Portugal. And I'd been doing this for a few months. I remember very clearly just kind of looking out the windows of the bus as the scenery went by. And I felt this feeling of, is that it? I mean, I looked forward to this trip. It was going to be amazing and wonderful. And I had spent months doing what people would dream about. I had no work, no responsibilities. I just ate in restaurants and stayed in hostels and met interesting people and saw beautiful and interesting things. But at the end of the 3 months of it, it was so empty. And I remember thinking, my goodness, there better be something else to make life worthwhile because this isn't it. And that's the feeling, I think, of trout hunger. I've got that thing that I dreamed about, and yet when I got it, it was unfulfilling. So maybe you felt that way too. And so that's when we come to the booth and we say, okay, tell me. I've tried the other things. I'm ready to hear it. What is the real bread? Because remember, we just read, don't spend your money on the stuff that isn't bread. Okay, so what is it? And here I think maybe a better gospel passage for today might have been John 6, where Jesus says, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. You want to know what the real bread is? He says, it's me. it's me. In other words, relationship with God through me. You want to know what is going to still that hunger in the deepest parts of your soul? The thing that will finally give you fulfillment and contentment in the midst of whatever circumstances of life? He says, here it is. Know me and know God through me. That's the real bread. And in another place where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, his disciples, you may recall, have gone into town to find food. And they come back and they're kind of, you know, Jesus, man, have some dinner. And they're kind of worried about that stuff. And Jesus says to them, relax, I've got food to eat that you don't know anything about. And they're puzzled about this. And he says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. That's my food. That's the real food, the real stuff, is to do the will of God in my life. So I think what we hear from the booth, if we listen, is he says, this is it. This is the secret to your deepest longings. To know God through Jesus and to do the will of God in the world. God has something for each of us to do, something for each of us to contribute. We may have our own plans about our lives, what we want to do, what we think will be best, and so forth and so on. But God says to us, forget it. Forget it. That is the road to frustration. You want to have the full life? Listen to me, and I'll give you an idea about what I have for your life, what wonderful things I have in store for your life. Jesus says, that is the true bread. So we're creatures of desire. We're creatures who crave. Can't get rid of that, but we can make important choices about how we will satisfy those cravings and desires. The world is full of people who want to tell you wonderful things about what you can do. Pick up any magazine and you'll find lots of suggestions. But Jesus says to us, don't listen to that. People have been there. They've done that. They've tried that. But I am the true bread, and your true sustenance is to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us, that you have planted desires within our heart, but then also told us how they might find satisfaction. We thank you for your Son, who is the true bread, and we thank you for the privilege and the invitation to join with him in your work in the world. God, grant us courage to respond to it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.